14. Zeke heard movement around him, not just him being moved past things in his wheelchair, but things moving past him as well. Shoes on carpet. Something went by with a squeaky wheel, and it made a picture in his mind of one of those little bookshelf carts librarians pushed around. The blindfold was soft cloth, like a t-shirt, but had enough weight to it that it settled across his eyes and cheeks. He couldn't see through it or under it. He'd woken up with it across his face after Agent 15 had knocked him out back at the station. His arms were strapped to the wheelchair, not cuffed. He'd been in cuffs enough times for enough reasons to recognize the feel of the double edge, even through clothes. He wasn't as sure about the restraints on his legs, but if his arms were strapped, his legs probably were too. Who had wheelchairs with straps on them? Prisons? Psycho wards? Feds? He didn't hear anyone talking, either. Or breathing. Even when someone moved by in a rush, he didn't hear them gasp for air. Just the sounds of the wheelchair on tight carpet and dozens of bodies moving back and forth around him. "This blindfold's getting really fucking old," Zeke muttered.
"Watch your language," said 15,
his iron fingers flexed on Zeke's shoulder.
"Not much longer."
"I don't like not seeing where I'm going."
"That's the point of a blindfold."
"Is some sort of black ops thing? I see something I wasn't supposed to?"
No one answered him. He focused on 15. The big man had a solid grip on Zeke's left shoulder, and his voice had come from the left, but that meant someone else had to be pushing the wheelchair, unless the big guy was doing it one-handed. Zeke sensed a doorway around him, then felt it push through the air and heard it latch behind him. The wheelchair rolled forward a few more feet, then settled back and trembled. Did wheelchairs have brakes? He thought they did.
"Free his hand," 15 said, "and take off the blindfold."
Zeke felt a finger slide into the blindfold at the back of his head. The heavy fabric dropped down to hang around his neck like a turtleneck. He opened his eyes, blinked a few times, and forced them open again. The office looked old. Not dusty or worn out, just old. Like the captain's office with all its 70s furniture and out-of-date office phones, except this place looked like something out of a World War II movie. A typewriter sat on one side of a creepy, clean, and ordered desk. An American flag stood in the corner. An old safe with a big dial and a handle squatted against the back wall. Agent 15 stepped around to the far side of the desk and opened a drawer without sitting down. His hat had vanished, but he still had the freaky plastic mask over his face. The badge, notebook, and pistol moved from his coat and vanished into the drawer. He pulled a single file folder from another drawer, centered it on the desk, and opened it to look at the pages inside. A hand reached down from behind Zeke and unbuckled a thick, belt-like strap. He twisted around and saw another dark-suited man. This one had a feature-blurring mask with round cheeks and a smile, almost like a clown. Clowns creeped Zeke out. He turned away just as the strap came free. The man kept his hand on Zeke's wrist, pinning it to the wheelchair's wooden armrest. The wheelchair had the big wheels in the front. Dark creases marked the brown leather of the straps. Somebody'd fought to get out of this thing. Maybe a couple people. The man released his arm and stepped back. Zeke looked at 15, still reviewing paperwork.
"Who the fuck?" Art, the clown agent behind Zeke, rapped his head. "What the fuck? You—"
The knuckles cracked against his skull again. Zeke twisted around trying to grasp at the man with his free hand. His fingers never came close. The clown agent never flinched.
"Officer Miller," said 15. "I trust we can carry out this process in a professional manner."
"What the hell's going on?" growled Zeke. "You kidnapped me. You abducted a police officer. Do you know how hard they're going to come down on you?"
15 selected a page from the file folder and set it down on the center of the blotter.
"I'll need your signature on this before we can continue."
"Fuck you."
The lights in the room brightened, turning everything white, and an instant later the pain hit, rocking his head forward. He took a deep breath and shook his head until his vision cleared. The back of his skull throbbed where the clown's punch had connected. He glared at the agent behind him, then at 15 on the other side of the desk.
"Who the hell do you think you are?"
"We," said 15, "are the faceless men behind the government. Our office served this country before all five branches of the armed forces."
He set his fingertips against the sheet of paper and spun it around. His arms stretched out and the paper slid across the desk.
"Sign," he said, "at the bottom."
Zeke looked at the blank sheet.
"What is it?"
"Your contract."
"It doesn't say anything."
"It says everything it needs to. The conditions and term of your service, requirements of your position."
15 lifted a pen from its precise position alongside the immaculate blotter and held it out across the desk.
"Now sign. At the bottom."
Zeke stretched out his hand and took the pen. He could just reach the bottom edge of the sheet of paper. He looked up at 15, then back at the clown agent behind the wheelchair. He tried to make out any features, any expressions behind the plastic masks, but they blurred into nothing. Almost as if...
"What is this?"
hissed Zeke, swallowing down a mouthful of fear and holding it down with anger. He retracted his arm, repulsed by the idea of what he might be agreeing to. He twisted around to stare up at the clown agent behind him. He couldn't see anything behind the clear mask. The skin wasn't blurred, it was just blank. No eyes, no whiskers, no mouth, no...
"This is a chance to serve your country in the most honorable way possible," said 15. "Sign the contract."
"What the fuck are you?"
Another punch to the back of the head rattled his teeth. Maybe not a punch, that could have been a nightstick. Maybe it had been his own nightstick.
"Sign, Officer Miller."
"Are you gonna kill me? What the fuck is this?"
The faceless man in the clown mask stepped forward and grabbed his wrist, stretching it back out to the contract. Something twanged in Zeke's shoulder. He tried to drop the pen to fling it away, but the man's hand was already there to catch it and shove it back into Zeke's fingers.
"Sign,"
the two agents said in unison. Zeke liked to tell himself he was the bravest man in town. But when the two men talked, a couple beads of cold sweat left trails down his back.
"Please," he said, "just tell me what this is all about."
"Sign."
Even muffled by skin and masks, the word made the room tremble. His fingers fumbled with the pen and scrawled his name at the bottom of the page.
"Excellent," said 15, sliding the page away. "Thank you, Officer Miller."
He tucked the signed sheet back into the file and set the folder on top of the stack marked IN.
"Now what?"
asked Zeke. His shoulder throbbed. Was it dislocated? Dislocated would hurt a lot more, he figured, so he counted his blessings. The clown agent spun the wheelchair around. The office had a wooden door with a large window of bubbled glass. 15 walked past Zeke and retrieved one of two black hats that hung on a coat rack next to the door. He set it precisely on his head with one hand while the clown strapped Zeke's arm down again. He tried to fight, but it was like being a little kid and fighting with a grown-up. 15 opened the door and stepped out into the hall. The clown pushed Zeke's wheelchair after him. It was an old-looking building, lots of wood and plaster. Identical doors with bubbly glass, none of them labeled, not even a number. It reminded Zeke of detective offices in black and white movies. The hallway stretched as far as he could see to the left. Dozens, maybe hundreds of doors. Countless China hat light fixtures hanging from the ceiling, one after another, making endless bright pools on the beady carpet. To the right, the hall went maybe 100 yards. It looked like it opened into a larger room, but Zeke couldn't be sure. The faint sounds of conversation and movement crept down to them. 15 started down the hallway, and the clown pushed Zeke along right behind him. The noise grew. Zeke thought about asking another question, but held his tongue. He didn't want to look stupid or scared. The hall ended at a set of double doors, each with a rubber wedge kicked under it to keep it pinned against the wall. Beyond them, Zeke could see the big room, a gym-sized room, at least. He glimpsed a press of bodies, a hanging chandelier, and then 15 led them into the room without pausing. Zeke had gone down to Foxwoods Casino a few years back for a long weekend. He'd never admitted it to anyone, but being there reminded him of one of the stories his mom had read him as a kid. The country mouse goes to the big city and finds it all too big and fast. All the people and sounds and lights at Foxwoods had been overwhelming. A sea of faceless men filled the huge room. Hundreds of them. All in dark suits of black or blue or charcoal, some with pinstripes or a fine herringbone twill. A few wore vests, others had double-breasted suits, the kind Letterman wore. They sat at dozens of desks and studied maps and marched through aisles in pairs and trios. It was Foxwoods times 1,000, set in a gigantic, old-fashioned office.
"Fuckity Jesus," said Zeke. "How many of you guys are there?"
47, said 15 without hesitation. "And again, watch the language."
Zeke flinched, waiting for a blow to the back of his head, but none came.
"What?"
"We pride ourselves on being polite and professional."
"No, you dumb—" Zeke bit down on his tongue, actually bit down and drew blood to make himself stop.
"How's there only 47 of you if the room's full?" 15 gestured down at the room.
"This is all of us. Every version of every faceless man on every assignment at every point in our illustrious history."
"Looks confusing as heck."
"Better," said 15. "It isn't. Confusion comes from distraction. We have certainty and purpose, so we aren't distracted."
"Right," muttered Zeke. "Purpose." They moved through the crowd. The wheelchair plowed forward, staying a few feet behind 15, even as other agents wove back and forth between them and alongside.
The press of bodies surrounded them, and from his position, Zeke saw nothing but suit jackets, vests, and ties. A pair of faceless men walked past, heading the other way, and one of them thumped an elbow against the side of Zeke's head. A solid hit. Probably an accident, but his cop reactions leaped to the fore. Angry at someone for not noticing his uniform even though he was strapped into a wheelchair, he wrenched his head around on reflex and barked after the faceless man.
"Hey, Nimrod!"
The outburst caught the clown off guard. His hands came away from the wheelchair. 15 paused and turned back. The two faceless men also stopped and snapped around as one, like a pair of targets turning on a shooting range. The shorter one, the one who'd hit him, wore a shirt and tie without a jacket. A dark vest, the same color as the man's slacks, covered his chest. No plastic mask or hat. The smooth curves of his face turned until his brow lined up with Zeke's. They stared at each other for a moment. Zeke wasn't sure where to look and ended up focusing his glare on the bridge of the nose, what'd be right between the eyes on a normal person. He could feel his pulse in his throat, but he knew better than to back down. He'd rather die brave anyway.
"That was me,"
the faceless man said after a few more moments. His muffled voice seemed uncertain, as if he wasn't sure he should apologize or not.
"Damn straight it was, moron, hitting a guy in a wheelchair? What the fuck's wrong with you? Watch where you're going."
The faceless man's head stayed pointed at him. Zeke realized he'd just told a man with no eyes to watch. He wondered if anyone else had caught it. A few other faceless men around them seemed to have noticed the exchange. Two in dark suits were hatless. One dressed in tweed wore a round Dr. Watson-type hat on his head. Another had an old colonial triangle.
"It's not important," said the taller man.
He wore a dark suit, an American flag pin, and a see-through Halloween mask like the rest of them.
"He doesn't matter anymore."
He set a hand on the shorter one's shoulder and they both turned away. The words created more beads of sweat inside Zeke's shirt.
"What's that supposed to mean?" said Zeke. Hey, I'm talking to you, jackass.
That's enough, said 15. We're on a schedule.
The clown's hands settled on the wheelchair again. Zeke turned, a wise-ass remark swelling in his mouth. Then he twisted back around and caught a last glimpse of the retreating faceless men before the wheelchair moved on and they vanished into the crowd. The tall man with the dark suit, the pin, and the Halloween mask.
Was that you? He called to 15. You were here and there?
Probably, said the agent ahead of the wheelchair. Like he said, it's not important.
They left the big room through a single door and entered another hallway. This one was darker and more utilitarian. And cold. The chair's tires squeaked on a gray and white checkerboard of linoleum tiles. 15 led them past a few solid doors, turned a corner, and walked past a few more. An old stretcher, old like the wheelchair and everything else in this place, rested against one wall. Zeke eyed the thick leather straps and the splashes of blood on the sheet. The stain was more red than brown, still fresh. 15 turned another corner and stopped at another door, a twin door. Instead of handles, each one had a long steel and rubber bumper that ran up and down. A hospital door, Zeke realized. Made to catch gurneys on their way to...
Fuck a duck,
he whined. 15 pushed open the door with one hand and gestured Zeke inside. Darkness clung to the corners of the operating room. Rolling trays and tanks of gas lurked on the edges of the shadows, along with some 70s-looking machines covered in dials and knobs. The faint light simmered around the gurney in the middle of the room, held there by a big, mirrored fixture on a mechanical arm. A small pillow and clean white sheets covered its top. Long leather straps dangled about where the head, chest, waist, and ankles would be. Zeke puffed out a breath, and it steamed in the cold air. One of the trays rolled forward into the light. The scalpels and clamps and saws clattered against one another. Things of chrome and steel sat on the tray that Zeke couldn't identify, couldn't even guess at. Behind the tray, another faceless man stepped out of the shadows. This one wore a long white surgeon's scrubs and held his hands up to display heavy rubber gloves. A pale blue face mask hung around the man's neck, and a paper cap of the same color covered his hair. The doctor's white clothes pinched in the middle, and Zeke realized the man wore an apron over his long scrubs. It made him look like a butcher.
Hello, said the doctor. Shall we begin?
Zeke threw himself against the straps. The chair creaked, the leather bent, but nothing gave. He thrashed back and forth, wrenching his neck and his sore shoulder and his hips. Nothing budged. The clown slapped a hand down on either arm, squeezing Zeke's biceps as 15 unbuckled the straps across his forearms. Zeke tried to leap again as the buckles opened, but the clown's grip made him wince. He slammed his head back and heard plastic crinkle before he hit something that felt and sounded like a wooden block. A few white spots twisted across his eyes and faded. The grip didn't budge. 15 unfastened the straps across his legs and grabbed his ankles before he could start kicking. Zeke tried kicking anyway. He thrust his hips up at the faceless man, then threw them side to side.
On the table, please, said the surgeon.
He gestured at the small pillow.
Face up, head here.
They heaved Zeke up and stretched him across the gurney. The surgeon adjusted the pillow, placing it beneath Zeke's neck. Then he lifted the straps on his side of the gurney one by one, resting them on Zeke's body.
I don't know what they told you,
Zeke said to the surgeon, trying to keep his voice steady.
But I'm a cop. You can't do this to me. People will look for me. They'll find you.
The leather strap across his waist and wrists cinched down, pushing him against the gurney. Another strap compressed his chest. The clown vanished back into the shadows.
Do you hear me? I'm a cop. A police officer.
The surgeon set the last restraint across Zeke's forehead, right at the hairline. It creaked against his skull. The doctor paused, then pulled it tighter. His blank face panned back and forth. He nodded once, then stepped away. Zeke tried to follow the man with his eyes. He flexed his fingers and rolled them into fists. He stared up into the lights over the table and told himself he would get through this. He would survive it, and then everybody would know he was not to be messed with. Especially Eli. None of this would have happened if not for goddamned Eli. Zeke could still be back at the station, probably eating pizza, and a faint hiss echoed off to the side, like a gas stove waiting for the pilot to catch. The surgeon returned. He'd pulled his blue mask up to cover the lower half of his empty face. His hand came up holding a triangle of black rubber attached to a long hose. The hiss came from inside the triangle, and it came down toward Zeke's mouth.
"Take a few deep breaths," said the faceless surgeon. "In and out. Count backwards from 10. And the next time you open your eyes..."
Zeke stared up at him as the rubber triangle settled over his nose and mouth.
"Yeah?" "Well," said the surgeon, "there won't be a next time after this."